stand before you in fear this morning. There's a stigma that goes with preaching, that goes with being a minister. It's fried chicken. Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. I'd be a vegetarian any day. This morning, I have more of a respect for Jonah because I wanted to run. First of all, I realize my dependence on the Lord. I have nothing in myself except the Lord build a house. They're going to labor in vain to build it. Every minister here can do it better than I can. But the Lord says, share what I give you. We have a song in our book that says, my soul be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. Hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. I read that verse of song before and thought maybe the songwriter was exaggerating a little bit when they wrote that. As I've lived longer, I don't believe 10,000 will do it. I believe the devil has a plan. We'll never be able to minister, could never enumerate them all. We're going to need God's help. Amen. That song goes on to say, oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly, day by day, and help divine implore. Realize there's no way I'm going to make heaven on my own. Every one of us today needs God's help. There's a verse we shared the other night. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because you got an adversary, the devil. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's for you. That's for me. How does God go about warning us to be able to flee those traps that the devil has for us? He's able individually to speak to each of our hearts. He's able to lead us and guide us to where we don't fall, each one of us by ourselves. But there's a danger, because there's a verse that says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Just the same as our country in the past installed a set of checks and balances, that the president would not be able to be a dictator. You know, we read about places in the past where there was a king and things went off of his mood. If he woke up in the morning and the cupbearer happened to be the first person he saw and he was in a bad mood, easily he could say, off with his head. So that that wouldn't happen in our country, they tried to put in some checks and balances. I want to tell you something. The Lord this morning has desired that there be checks and balances. That I not be able to go out on my own and say, I need no help. The Lord can show me I can make heaven on my own. So into this loop, he puts a little substitute. It's called a watchman. Yes. I'd like for us to look in Ezekiel 33. Take a look at the 7th verse. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Folks, this thing is past fried chicken now. Hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. We back up then and we look at those first few verses. It says, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, if he blow the trumpet, and warn the people. Whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood should be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, took not warning, his blood should be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But here's where the fear for me comes in. If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. You know, those of you who are married this morning, The Lord has moved you. If you're single, you've got responsibility for one person to make heaven your home. It's you. Should you get married, it moves on now to another step. It's not just my place to get me to heaven. Now I'm responsible for another person. And it grows as children come into the home. This takes it one step farther. Watchmen, when I show you that there's trouble coming to the land, and you don't warn them, the people be not warned. If the sword come, take any person away in his iniquity, he'll be taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Today, as we look at the seriousness of the watchman's job, I understand a little better about Jonah. But I want to be faithful to the Lord. Think about Jeremiah. We hear of him as being the weeping prophet. God brought him at a time when the children of Israel were straying, and yet he held Jeremiah's feet to the fire. Keep on warning them. If you have to eat the bread of affliction, keep on warning them. Because just like this says, I'm going to hold you accountable for it. There's a verse in 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. I love this verse. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. We have that assurance today that the eyes of the Lord are going about in this earth, as wicked as it is around us, and he's checking for somebody that's perfect in heart, that has a desire, Lord, I want to make heaven. All I need is for you to show me how. There's also someone else walking about. You remember Job? When the Lord asked Satan, said, where you been? He said, I've been going to and fro on the earth. I've been walking up and down in it. I want to tell you something. He's looking for some folks too. And I'd like for us this morning to take a look at the example. Let's go to Matthew 12. This morning, I'm saved and I want to go to heaven. I'm not safe from danger, folks. If we go to 12 and 43, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. That spirit that was removed from this man that now has a clean heart, that spirit is moving about, seeking whom he may devour. It goes on to say, he says, I'm going to return to my house. In this going about, he comes back to this vessel. I want to see what's been going on in it. When he comes, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Folks, this morning, there's a danger if we don't fill up with Christ. If I allow other things to start filling this vessel, there's somebody else traveling around looking to and fro, seeing whom he may devour. It's not enough that I'm saved today. I'm not home yet. He finds it empty, swept and garnished. And he doesn't just stop with bringing back just those things only that I was plagued with before. But the last state of that man is worse than the first. You remember where Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. I want to tell you, folks, we're going to each one need that. Because the devil is circling the camp. He's circling you individually. Can I find a weak spot? Can I find a soft spot? A place that has not been filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I'd like for us to go to another verse in 2 Corinthians. Ten and four. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is the assurance that every Christian has. It's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look at this next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I've got a duty to do. There's some things that I'm going to have to pull down. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To make heaven, I'm going to be responsible for this. I've got to do it. This morning, I want to talk to the young people. Because hopefully what I have to talk to the young people about, us older ones have already settled it in our heart. We have already anchored something that will take me through this life and I'll be able to make heaven my home. You ever heard of the Battle of Armageddon? Haven't heard it so much lately. But there's been people that have said, there's a battle coming between right and wrong. It's going to be Satan's forces against the forces of Christ. Somewhere around Jerusalem, maybe. It's going to be a literal battle. But at the end of it, I believe Jesus is going to come out on top. He's going to win. Should you ever, young people, should you ever hear this, I've got a verse, one verse, for you to use. It's Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. I want to tell you, there is a battle going on today. As strong as what people say this battle of Armageddon that would naturally happen will be, guaranteed it is just that strong. Amen. That battle is for the control of the access to your heart, to my heart. At the end of the day, I'm the one that makes the decision who's going to win. We have a song that says, God, my thoughts. I'm realizing I can't do it on my own. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes, and I'm going to end up lost. So I'm asking the Lord now, guide my thoughts, lest they should wander to those empty dreams of earth. It's like a natural warfare. The one that controls the city will be the one that controls the access to it. Just give him a little bit of time. Amen. Young people, have mercy on the minister. Because if he doesn't warn you, your blood will be on his hands. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the power of music. An inroad into my heart. The devil will tell you it's a very small cost. There's no price to this. I want to tell you, this area can determine whether you make heaven or whether you're lost. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to need the Lord to direct me. And I want to give you a scripture that shows us the seriousness of it. Let's go to 1 Samuel, 16th chapter. You remember the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, was upon Saul, King Saul. How did he lose it? It was through disobedience. And it came by time. It didn't happen all of a sudden. It didn't happen without King Saul's knowledge. But over a period of time, disobedience caused the Spirit of the Lord to leave. If we look there in the 14th verse, it lets us know that. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord. The Lord allowed an evil spirit to come. Folks, at a time that through disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit, he will assist another spirit to come. It's the danger of it. And we can go back and look at that analogy in Matthew that tells us when that unclean spirit's gone out, he walks about seeking rest and finding none, and he looks and he goes out and gets others and brings them in. I'm responsible for what he brings in. Yes. Bringing into captivity every thought. There's a verse that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want to tell you, it's past another avenue before what he thinks in his heart has become who he is. He allowed it to go through his mind, and he chose to let it go on down and settle in his heart. I want to tell you, to young and old today, put your guard up against country music. Don't think it's only the beat that I like. There's a message going out. And young people, what guide do you set for your life? I want to give you one. It's working in my life, and I'll guarantee it to work in yours. Listen to nothing that if you lived what it said, your soul would be in danger of being lost. Folks, I believe that guideline can be your protection. There are spirits that travel through music. Let's take a look here at Saul. His own servants understood this. When that spirit departed, an evil spirit came. Saul's servant said unto him, "Behold now, an evil spirit from of God troubleth thee." We've got a solution. Why was their solution not? Let's call a fast. If we would pray and seek the Lord, maybe he would come down and forgive Saul. Maybe he would restore him again. They had another solution. In the 16th verse, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp." Yes. Music is able to soothe an evil spirit. Folks, I want to tell you something. Music, God uses it. How many of you think about the song that says, "I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed"? That song, as you look at it step by step, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us through music. The devil will speak to us through music. The battle of Armageddon is going on today. You will be the one to make the choice where your soul spends eternity. God could have chosen to do it a different way. He made the angels that they would do his bidding. He chose for mankind to be able to have a choice. He's doing everything he can today to call us, to warn us, not just about this, but for so many other things. But folks, at the end of the day, you'll be able to make up your mind. We're going to need, as this song says, "I stood at the time-beaten portal." I need something to weigh my decisions against. That needs to be a view out into eternity. The carefulness that I have in my life, not just in this area but in others, must be weighed against eternity, because if it goes no farther than my feelings for today, I'll accept things that are going to cause me to be lost. So I want to tell you, the devil has a plan. Saved and sanctified, there are some things that I will not do. What about rock music? The devil has a plan. So where I would hear the words and I realize this is not right, the devil came along with Christian rock. The beat is the same, but every once in a while I'll hear Jesus' name mentioned. Folks, I want to tell you, it's a lonely place to be a minister in these times. But at the end of it, folks, there was a time when my only responsibility to make heaven was for myself. That has changed. Now I'm responsible. So he came along with Christian rock, and I can feel like it has a little message to it. Every once in a while I hear Jesus. I want to tell you something. There's a spirit that flows through music. The battle of Armageddon is on today. You will be able to decide who's going to win in your life. That moves on into other areas of my life. What I read. Use that same guideline for what you read. If I lived what I enjoy reading, would there be a risk of me missing heaven? The things that I bring into my life. Because what happens is, they don't just go to your mind. They come on down into the heart. Amen. What I do with it. I need to use that guideline. Young people, get a guideline in your heart. What I see. You can go down the road today, and there are billboards that I wish weren't there. I want to tell you something. The message first has to hit the mind. And by God's power, they can be stopped right there. Because I have another verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter. We have that verse that says, where sin abounds, grace will always stay just ahead of it. With plenty of room ahead of it. But it is only as I avail myself of it. So, God guarantees protection for what hits the mind. I'm the one that gets to determine what enters the heart. Why have ministers, why do they still warn us against television? Why do they still warn us against the video, against movies? Because different than a billboard, that has moved past what I'm going down the road and it hits my mind and I need the Lord to help me get rid of it. I made a choice. I brought it in. Yeah. It went past the mind and it's now moved to the heart.
That's right. Amen.
Son of man, I've made you a watchman.
Yeah.
It changes everything. Folks, I'm so glad that the people's decision of how close they'll walk with Christ or not, once we have delivered a message, God doesn't hold on us.
Amen.
We then get to back up to my life and what I allow come into my heart.
That's right.
But today he's saying, got something you need to share. There's a verse that says, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at the eternal destiny of my soul, it's not wise for me to look around and say, others are doing it. Why can't I? Where I spend eternity today is going to be determined off of choices that I'm making. I need for myself to take into my life what Christian did. Put his fingers in his ears, and he ran. Life, life, eternal life.
Amen.
I want it.
Yes, amen.
There's a verse of a song that says, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. Let it go. If I want to make heaven, I need to let it go. I want to give you another warning this morning, and you may want to laugh at this one. There are some things that we need to flee. Flee this one, folks. It's taken our land by leaps and bounds. Gambling. It's a word that we don't use anymore. It sounds better to say, I took a chance. I want to tell you something, flee this one. Because the devil owns the business. He says, the cost is so small, try it. Folks, he never shows us. There are homes broken up because of this one. There are homes lost because of this one.
That's right.
It's so available. What would hurt? To go in the gas station when I pay for my gas and take a $2 chance. I've watched them do it. I've watched people walk in there, hand down as little as $2. You know, it seems like just a small choice. I can buy a hamburger with it, or I can take a chance to make $10. There's a spirit involved. I'm watching the results of that spirit. It goes deeper than what you see when you pass that casino, and on the billboard it shows this woman or this man waving $50,000 that they won. I wish it would show the ledgers of people that have come and gone through those doors. I have a man that worked with me in Oklahoma City. His sister seemed so innocent. You can start it out in bingo. Put down a little money for a card, play the game, and you might walk out with $10 or $100. But it grows. It grabs you up, and it grows. She went one night, and she won a brand new pickup truck with a brand new boat. Had a value of like $60,000. She had no need for either. Had no money to pay for the tags. So she sold them back to the dealers for like 50 cents on the dollar. And took that money and reinvested it in the casino. And lost it all. And now the government has said, you had a choice of whether to pay your taxes then on it or now. And you chose to pay it later so you could reinvest it. So we now need you to pay taxes on it. And it's all gone. Young people, I want to tell you something. Flee this one. The devil has a snare laid for you that will go much farther than you ever realize. I've got one more. Marriage. God put a plan in motion at the beginning of time for the man to leave his father and his mother, cleave to his wife, and they be one flesh. Young people, as you come to the place that you start looking for a companion, God has some more instruction that he wants us to put in there. Let's go to the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 2nd verse. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them, make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. A loving God, why is he warning his people of this? Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Because here's the reason, and nothing has changed over time. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. Young people, I want to tell you, be careful. The devil works in this area too. He's still requiring his people that want to make heaven to be a separate people. Leaven. It's like leaven that will come in, and where I thought I will bring up, it starts growing and it brings down. I want to read another verse in 2 Corinthians. In the 6th chapter and in the 14th verse. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We heard last night, there are a whole lot of people today that believe in Christ. James tells us that the devils also believe and tremble. A believer, where he's talking about here, one that I'm willing to spend the rest of my life from, and we both make heaven our home in the end, has got to go deeper than that. This believing is going to have to come from conviction. Convictions that I have set in concrete. I know the Lord has dealt with me in these areas. I have fixed them in my life, and I won't give them up. What are your convictions today? Is it that I've been at home these 18 years, and mom and dad have told me to live this way? I want to tell you something that's not solid enough. You're going to have to dig some piers on your own. You're going to have to take the things that the saints have taught. You're going to have to get a relationship with the Lord that you settle it for yourself. To where, should the ministers come to you next week to your congregation and say, folks, we've held it too straight. There have been people that we have driven off by careful living and teaching it. If the ministers came to each congregation next week and said, folks, we're letting the standard go. We've got to reach people because the end of time is coming, and we've got to be a help to all men. At that time, What are your convictions?
That's right.
Would you be able to say, I have waited for this for a long time, and it's high time that it happened. Let's go. Or would each of you be able to say today, I settled that between me and the Lord a long time ago. It's not about what everybody else does. Because folks, we've come down to the place now, don't compare yourself by anybody else. We're going to have to measure ourselves to Christ. What is He requiring of me? Because I tell you, at the end of the day, He's going to require some things of me that is legal for you. He's going to come down and He's going to search my heart, and He's going to see this thing is taking a preeminence in your life, and now I want you to let it go. I can't be looking around me and say, but they're doing it, so I can do it. But there's some things right now, and young people, I want to warn you. As you're going out looking for a companion, and you say, I got one requirement, they must be a believer. Do they hold the same convictions as you? And more important than that, what convictions do you hold? Do you say, I've got strong convictions? They don't. But over time, I'll be able to bring them up. I want to give you just a little bit of advice today. Whoever you choose, as you're going with them, be willing to say, I'm willing for them to stay just that way throughout life. Yeah. And I'm willing to face eternity for that. I want us to look at something in the book of Judges. I'm almost finished. Samson. First verse of the 14th chapter. Samson went down to Timnah. Saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. You remember back in Deuteronomy where God said, don't do it. It's going to cause you trouble. His father and his mother said to him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Counsel doesn't matter. This is the direction I'm going. Now, folks, I don't want to just skip over the fourth verse. Because it says, and I really believe this follows the same thing as what happened to Saul. The Lord allowed him to have an evil spirit. Here it says, they didn't realize that this thing was of the Lord. He was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. I think of this verse that says, it's needful that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom they come. Yes. This thing cost Samson so much, it seemed like there was no cost to it, but it cost him his life in the end. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's a very good chance it'll cost you your soul in the end from this one. Let's go to the 16th chapter. Because this thing progresses. In the 19th verse, it's now come to the end. He has flirted around with what God gave him to be his strength. You remember how many times he told Delilah, here's what it is, and she believed him. What a man, knowing each time when she wakes him up, knowing, but instead he counted on his own strength. I'll be able to handle this. She wore him down. It says she shaved off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Folks, I want to tell you something. We can flirt around with Satan's devices, and our strength leaves us. And it's not my place to say how fast it will happen. His strength left him. But here is the saddest part. Now she wakes him. Thought it was my friend. She says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. Look at this part. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Folks, I want to tell you today, it's not really the minister's job to go out and scan the list of songs that are available for you to listen to today. It's not the minister's job to take an inventory of the books, read them himself, and tell you this one's good and this one's not. I don't think that was God's plan to ever happen. It's our job to warn. It's your job to seek the Lord earnestly, because your eternal destiny depends on it. I want to close with this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding or to what anyone else is saying around you. Put your fingers in your ears and say, it's life that I'm going after.
Amen.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because at the end of the day, this battle of Armageddon is raging. The devil is doing everything he can to catch you.
That's right.
The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. Is there anybody that still wants me? Enough that they'll leave this world far behind. I'll give them all the power they need. Today, the choice is ours. Pray for me.
Amen.